And now
I'm not muted.
We have quorum now. Let's call a meeting to order at 6:01. First order of business is Pledge Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. But Ken, did you get the minutes off the last meeting?
Yes, you sent me one.
Is it on the shared, it's on the shared drive?
Yes, I did email
the best. Okay. Does everybody have a copy? Are there any comments or edits or updates to the meeting?
I move to accept the meeting minutes from the October board meeting.
November.
Isn't this November?
We had a meeting on the 11th.
The executive session, right?
The executive session.
That's right, from the okay. So I move to accept the, so it's October and November.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right. I read them both. I move to accept the minutes from the October and November board meetings.
We have a second?
Second.
Comments, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We have public comments up next, Val. Do we have any public comments or folks that wish to make any comments? I'm sure Val is on.
Don't see Val on.
I think he's dialing in now.
She sent some emails that were intended for comments, I think.
Yeah, I think... Elias addressing Val, are you on now?
Hi, sorry about being a couple minutes late.
Yeah, we were at the point where we're looking at public comments. Do we have anything in the queue for folks that wanted to make public comments tonight?
I don't have anybody in the queue, but the comments that I have received via email, I have forwarded to board members. We'll revert to those individuals with the answers that have been provided.
Okay, and I think a lot of them are questions, and I think we can have those answered as well too. I don't think there's anybody that had any statements that they wanted read. Is that your understanding as well?
Yep, agree.
Okay. Next up on the agenda is a head of school report.
Okay, share my screen. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. Lots of things to cover today in our head of school report, so look forward to letting you know all the wonderful things that are going on here at Odyssey Charter. First of all, we'll start with the COVID stuff. There's a lot of good stuff going on with respect to our approach to COVID and some of the things moving forward. We have a general, we have our numbers that are throughout the entire school year that are kind of listed over here, but I do want to kind of focus more on where we are at this particular time, and there were a couple interesting changes from one school to another. I can report that there were some cases in the lower school. We had five that were verified through Quidel for that, and we are addressing that right now. At this point in time, there's we haven't seen any specific outbreaks. There were some cases that came within our lower school that we found through close contact tracing that were happening from outside the school. But from within the school, we are still waiting to get some follow-up information. But at this time, the process and our mitigation strategies seem to be working. Our testing, again, is through Quidel. They're remaining very flexible with us and our needs. They're on campus every week, and they're all in the buildings, high school, lower school, middle school, intermediate school. Please do not send your children to school if they're ill. The nursing offices are seeing a high influx of ill children on campus. students are being sent to school, they really don't want to be doing that. In terms of vaccination, it's highly recommended at this time for the spread of COVID. Vaccination for 5 or older has started. We do have some good news on that front. Odyssey will be offering a vaccination clinic to all families on Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Information will be communicated to the community with specifics as it becomes available. We are partnering with Academia Antonia Alonso and Gateway Charters in conjunction with Albertson's Pharmacy to provide this to 5 to 11-year-olds. So this is for the younger population right now. So the sign-up link will come out tomorrow morning, so please look for that information coming through email and text message blast so that you can get signed up for that. There are limited spaces, so it's kind of important that you sign up if you want to do it. But we obviously are encouraging this as part of our larger mitigation strategy for the school. Moving on, we have created specific virtual teaching models as well to help deliver instruction where needed, and we've talked about that in the past. We have added some more substitute teachers to our team so we could expand our virtual option if and when needed. We are also building our capacity in every single building. There's another paraprofessional coming on as well to help support our special education department. Per the DHSS Secretary Order, the school is implementing the mandated vaccines and testing protocols put forth by the state, and the school will provide the procedures and the FAQs so that we are in compliance. We started this on November 1st, and now we're going through our first couple of weeks of that. So that's it from that particular department. From the flagpole initiative, so we completed phase one of the flagpole initiative. You would be able to see it. Actually, it's outside of building, that's 21, right? I always mix up the building 21 and 22. Outside 21, you'll see the Greek and American flag. You'll see the little courtyard. It's really nice, beautiful start to our program. We are now in the development phase for the second part, our phase two for the brick fundraiser. Our goal here is to raise at least $50,000. The $50,000 has already partially been spent on bleachers and scoreboards for our particular fields. So we really are looking to recover that. The project will be launched in the next 4 to 6 weeks. We want to thank Mike Russo for taking on the logistics for Brick Project Phase 2. We really appreciate the support. Some of the shipping is happening right now. The bleachers are in transit, so we're very excited about that. And today we got a very good quote for the electrical work on the scoreboard, because the first quote was not so good. But the second quote was really good, so it's a lot more promising. We're looking forward to having that as well. From the culture focus, we are starting our parent workshops at the end of this month, and they will be based on the 21st century thinking topics, which include social, emotional support, and restorative practices. In addition, on the culture side, we are hosting our first ever academic fair and showcase. It is this Saturday at 9:45 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. We would really love to see all of our parents and supporters and the community members come out and see all the wonderful project-based learning accomplishments of all of our students. This is really an opportunity to get a broad view of what education at Odyssey looks like as students matriculate from kinder all the way through 12th grade. It's truly extraordinary to see how diverse and varied the learning opportunities are here at Odyssey. And it's a really great opportunity because sometimes we only get to see what's happening in front of us in our particular building or in our particular grade level or even in our particular classroom, and we don't get a chance to see what this all looks like when you go through all of the grades here. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. There'll be these passports that you'll get when you come in, and you get to go to stations and all of the different buildings and see what learning looks like and some of the projects that have been done across all of the buildings. There's going to be raffles and prizes to give away, so we're really excited about it, and we can't wait to have everybody come and show for that, so we hope to see you there. You do not have to make an appointment to come. It's drop-in, and it's at your own pace. It's like a self-guided museum tour, if you can imagine that. So we're really, really excited about that. Food services. What a day we had today in food service. We served 1,100 turkey, roast turkey, mashed potato stuffing, and all the fixings, holiday lunches. So the kids were thrilled, we were thrilled, it was delicious. I want to thank the food service team for their extraordinary efforts to put forth that kind of meal. It was pretty high quality stuff. I got to say that was good meal. So well done over there. Dates to remember for the PTO. I'm going to speak on behalf of the PTO because sent some stuff over to me. November 22nd is our turkey trot for the kindergarten through the fifth grade. The turkey trot letter already went home today. December 3rd is a dress down day for small toys or $2 donations. The toys will be donated to local charities for children in need for the holidays. If you decide to send in cash, the money will be used to purchase small toys for the donation drive. Please feel free to send additional donations as well. December 4th from 4 to 8, we have our next designer bag bingo. Tickets are $25 and you have a lot of great bags to choose from. I did see it the last time. There's some pretty impressive quality there. So if you're into those big name brands, this is your time to do it. December 6th through 10th, we have our holiday shop for kindergarten through fifth grade. Your teacher will send out the class schedule for that. The event allows children to shop for their family members and friends for the holidays. Transportation updates. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. Facilities. Quarterly HVAC filter exchange is in process right now for all buildings. That's over 1,000 air filters that are being replaced right now. So it's a little bit of a heavy lift. Our next round of BioProtect Plus will be sprayed on all student desks for our COVID-19 treatment in December. Currently, we are in the process of hiring part-time custodians due to resignations for full-time work. I did already speak to the scoreboard for bleachers. Phase one of our new office formation is completed. And we're working on phase two, which is to actually split some of the offices into two offices. That's happening right now. Materials have been ordered for doors and walls. Instructions are being lined up right now. For IT, we are formatting a bunch of new Chromebooks and 150 in the last month. The online library was launched. We did our Schoology rollover, and there's some more IT stuff that I'll talk about a little bit later on. The marketing piece I've already spoken to, we voted Delaware's best, the top public school in Northern Delaware, which is a great accomplishment for us. Now, in terms of within our buildings, a lot of stuff is going on as well. We had our great fire safety presentation in our lower school, and we're gearing up for our open houses. Open houses this Friday. So it's another opportunity for us to be able to get some more exposure to all the wonderful things that are happening in our K-6 programs. Over the next months, we'll be working on collecting, implementing, and posting trauma-informed practice resources across the building as to follow up on our trauma-informed practices PD that we did district-wide on the 5th. So on November 5th, we actually trained everybody in restorative practices training, affective language training, and TIPS training, which is trauma-informed practice training, for all members of Odyssey, not just teachers, but every single person who is in front of a student had that training. The intermediate school is also doing lots of activities right now. They have a geography day, which is on Thursday the 18th. The academic fair that we referred to, the turkey trot, is on Monday. We have over 30 intermediate school students who have opened an account at the bank at school. That's really, really cool. Fifth grade safety patrol is coming in the new year. And we also have tons of after-school opportunities for kids that are for all 3 to 5 students coming up, including karate with fusion, freestyle, young Rembrandts, and the science explorer. So as you can see, we're continuing to expand our cultural impact on the schools as we become more and more comfortable with the mitigation strategies and our COVID protocols to create a safe environment for our students. In terms of our middle school, save the dates for the 20th and the 21st of December, I'm sorry, because we also have a K-3 winter concert. There are several winter concerts that are coming up. Our band also has a concert coming up on December 15th. Please look for that flyer to come out as well. That's going to be a different venue. It's going to be a formal venue. It should be a beautiful concert that they're putting on for us. The middle school is in full swing as well. We have 8th grade social studies DESSA field trip on this Thursday, November the 18th. 8th grade step-up day for the high school is on the 19th. That is an opportunity for our 8th grades to experience a day in the life of the high school. Very exciting for our kids to be able to experience that and see just how wonderful it is to be a high school student here at Odyssey. I can tell you firsthand because I teach high school at Odyssey, so it's really cool. Middle school open house mingle is on the 19th, like you mentioned, from 6 to 8 p.m. We hope you can attend and you can be there with us. on the academic side, specifically on the curriculum, a lot of things are going on right now. We have the Curriculum Instruction Assessment Committee, who has been, for kindergarten teachers, they have collaboratively assessed the effectiveness of the new kindergarten students' math screener, iReady, which is a software that we use to be able to promote and support the learning process of math and ELA. And so that's getting purchased in, for the use in January. In addition, we have participated in one of the many restorative practices workshops for the school year. We'll have more coming up. Each K-5 teacher received a plethora of intervention strategies to enhance and support for their work. In our 6 to 12, they're continuing to support the StudySync and Carnegie Learning curriculum. In 6 to 12, we're also completing an MP1 gradebook audit, which will help give us some insight on what it is that how do we better need to support our students and to make sure that our gradebooks align with our policies. Our K-5 teachers are also currently assessing various reading curriculums with the intention of adopting one for the next school year. As part of the adoption process, we are doing these curriculum mappings to determine the alignment of the standards, and we're visiting schools to observe several curriculums right now. This is kind of a new move for us, and we thank Dr. Thompson and the CIA for putting this together. So teachers are currently immersed in a lot of these different processes. I believe they were there today. We had teachers that were visiting other schools to observe the adoption of these curriculums and see, what are the strengths, what are the setbacks, what can we do with the stuff, and how can we possibly use this curriculum moving forward. We are also completing qualitative assessment of professional development needs. The needs are aligned with the school's curriculum instruction and assessment goals. We're hoping for them to be teacher-led and will be embedded with ongoing support, demonstrations, feedback, modeling, and masterminding through our PLCs. In providing the teacher agency, this review results will specifically note teachers' PD needs associated with assessing the learning, both formatively and summatively, which is an area that we're really focusing on right now, and addressing the specific concepts and strategies to enhance the ability to provide intervention for struggling learners. We have a series of developments that were going on. Our first professional development with the company that we used, like I said, was the LAIRP for Effective Language Restorative Practices and Tips Training. We are also participating in the statewide professional development initiatives, representatives from each school, and accelerating to grade level math coaching program. We also are looking at Eureka, CERN, Engage New York Math Professional Learning Networks, and the K-2 teacher representations in the Lead Early Literacy Series for elementary school teams. At the high school, OCS Homecoming was a great success. I actually attended the event. It was beautiful. It was also coupled with a pep rally, our homecoming soccer and volleyball games, which I attended. Things were wonderful as well. And the alumni visiting some of these events was really special. We really appreciate that. It's a testament to the culture of the school. And we had a record number of students attend the homecoming. It was just about 200 kids that came to homecoming this year, which is absolutely phenomenal. What an event it was. A beautiful hall, beautiful environment, just a lot of fun. College application week was a bear, and congratulations to the counselors and to the team for being able to push our kids through that process for the first round of early action and early decision. I know that one of my students in my class, they ran up to me yesterday. We were very excited because they got into Temple University. So we were really, really happy to hear that. So we're already getting results back that quickly. That's usually a positive sign of things to come. So we have already received some exciting news, like I talked about, Temple University, Lynn University, West Virginia University, and Newman University. We're currently enrolling students for our next trips that we'll be having in the years to come. Those are part of our outside learning experiences that we have within the high school, which allow students to be able to apply some of the things really in the classroom into real life environments in other countries and create a more open point of view in terms of the worldly view. Our high school hosted a Rolling Out the Blue Carpet event on Wednesday, November 10th. Families of current OCS 8th graders were invited to join for a community dinner and conversation where families met with the staff members and heard their various perspectives on the different activities and classes that we offer at Odyssey Charter High School. All eighth graders, like we said, are coming to Step Up Today on November 19th. We're excited to welcome them and see some of the great activities that we have over there. Eighth grade students visited the high school during the homecoming week as well. They made some tie-dye shirts for class of 2026. And We are, if anybody here is interested in learning more about OCHS, we will be welcoming families and students to our academic fair on Saturday the 20th. Like I said, from 9:45 to 2:30, so you can come see us at the high school to see some of the great things that are happening over there. We'd like to recognize the following students for their selection to the High School Student Council. In ninth grade, President, Vice President, Secretary, Treasurer, and Council, we have Isha Sagirju. Did I say that almost right? I think so. And then we have VP Arnav Tadubayi. Secretary is Rosa Nikki Papadopoulou. And then we have the treasurer, which is Sabria Powers, and council member Yatunde Odeku. In 10th grade, we have Nia Tarini, the president. We have the VP Dakshi Kashik. We have Secretary Alyssa Rodriguez, treasurer Cheryl Martinez, council members Drubi Patel and Kayla Zolano and Asta Desai. 11th grade president Charlotte Walder. Vice president is Leah Kozlowski. Secretary is Celine Luna Maria. Treasurer Samreen Ahmed. And council members Jack Roberts and General Mohammed. 12th grade, we have President Kanmani, who's also making bio class. Congratulations. VP is Bryce Johnson. Secretary Christina Martinez, also making bio class. Congratulations. Treasurer Marisha Datia. And council members Amelia Castillo and Brianna Weaver. So congratulations on your recognition and getting that. We also want to recognize the students who comprise this year's homecoming court. We have Raina Holmes and Desiree Felix in ninth grade, Jane Ellis and Maddie Morgan in 10th, Celine Luna Maria and Sabra Wethera in 11th, and then in 12th grade we had Conway, and then Luke, and then Christina and Matthew Jenkins. Christina Martinez and Luke Williams were also voted as homecoming royalty at the dance, so congratulations to them. The enrollment update hasn't changed since the last time. We are now strategically looking at enrollment for next year, and that's part of the process that we go through, as it's an annual process for us. We already did our calendar updates, so I don't have any other ones for this particular part. In our visual branding perspective, mission and vision statements are going up in all of the buildings right now inside, so that we can make sure that we remind ourselves on a daily basis what it is, what the why of our work. On a daily basis, so we're looking at that. There's also going to be some new logos being placed that are more consistent in all the classrooms, and we'll see that as well. The financial update, I'm going to leave to Jeff. From a transportation, we are still seeing some problematic routes pop up on our contractors, and we are able to sub them out as needed with our alternative drivers. So one of the great things that we have right now is that we are actually able to get to the point where we have a little bit more redundancy in our system. We have a few alternate drivers. Our after-school bus stops to go out in the next communication to accommodate all OCS families. I have heard feedback from some families that we want to add a couple routes. I have heard feedback about a North Wilmington route. So we are looking at these surveys and figuring out what we can do to build our capacities more. Over the next few months, we will continue to hire drivers and buy buses, so our program runs flawlessly from top to bottom. There was a question that came up about like what we would do if there was a first student strike, and we do have the ability, we have enough redundancy built in the system that we would basically just recover routes that are being contracted out so that we would be able to service our students first and foremost. We are looking at some financing terms specifically for buses, and that's listed over here. Not really, I don't really need to go into that at this particular time, but it just shows that we are actually shopping this out to make a projection of what this is going to cost. In terms of student services, oh, and by the way, I should add one more thing that I forgot to add to the transportation piece. We are creating a transportation dashboard, which is similar to our COVID dashboard, which will give you the on-time percentage for all of our routes. So that we can monitor that on a monthly basis and weekly basis and see how it's moving and projected moving forward. We got very good feedback on the COVID dashboard, so we feel like a transportation dashboard will also help in being very transparent in the process. We're also, now from student services, we're working on our full shift and inclusive model. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank board member Helen Anderson for coming in and helping us with student services. She's been a tremendous help to our student services department and trying to organize our supports and our limited resources so that we can serve kids in the best possible way that we can. That's part of this audit that we did of the entire system, and we're trying to reallocate resources as a result of that. Our first parent council for students with disabilities is coming in December. Parents with students who receive services through an IEP, please be on the lookout for the flyer with more information. This session will focus on meeting the director, the mission for the special education moving forward, and how to navigate through special education here at Odyssey Charter. We also started our problem-solving teams in each of the schools to identify students who have not responded to some of the best practice interventions so that we can come up with new strategies to support those students even more. From the IT perspective, I did make a little bit of mention before, we're all internally very excited about this. We're finalizing the new OCS call directory, and we'll record the new message this week to go out next week. It's going to be a very energetic message, and it'll be very, at the same time, we'll provide a very clear pathway for how to connect to the various, you know, arms of our particular school in a very straightforward manner, so that when you're calling the school, you are able to get directly to the office that you want to get to or directly to the person that you want to get to on the first try instead of like the second, third, or fifth try. We are waiting on 92 more Chromebooks that are still on back order. This has been an ongoing concern, but we are building capacity within all of our schools again so that we can make sure that if, God forbid, we get into a situation where the COVID rates spike and we have to transition to virtual, we'll be in a position to be able to handle that. So we are pushing really hard for that. 22 of the 82 new staff Surface laptops have arrived, which is good news, and they're being deployed right now. Again, we still have 60 more that we ordered and are not in yet. Take a breath, that was a lot. Questions, concerns, comments?
You're looking at new curriculum for the middle school?
I don't want to speak for the curriculum directors, but I believe that's already been implemented.
No, you were looking at, I guess it's K-5.
Yeah.
How many different curriculums do you typically look at before you
decide? The first thing you should do is look at something called Ed Reports. Ed Reports has these rankings and ratings for them. And then using the Ed Reports, you typically come up with 2 to 3 options.
Okay.
And then you vet those out. And the number one thing you're looking for is the standards alignment. So that they're aligned to the state standards and the national norm standards. And then from that, you look at the implementation strategies that align with the vision and mission of the school. And like, how is that going to work with the way that we have our educational model set up? So that's why it's important for teachers to go out and see it somewhere else, because then they can compare, well, how does that compare to the way that we implement instruction in our school? Would it be feasible to get the same outcome if we're using that one versus another one?
And then? For the Greek program, they would need to realign their curriculum to match whichever one's selected.
The Greek program typically uses Engage New York for starting the line curriculum, and they have to write it out.
Okay.
So they don't have the luxury of being able to vet out resources like this. They have to actually write the whole curriculum out. So it shouldn't impact that alignment as much. It will impact in specific classrooms more than others. But ultimately, they end up having to write their curriculum.
Okay. And the transportation dashboard, can we get a preview of that when it's ready before it goes live?
I don't have a preview of it yet because we just talked about it today.
No. Just before it goes live, can we?
Oh, of course.
Get a shout out? Okay. Thanks.
So the only thing I really want to address is we have a couple parents' concerns about the communications and how they're coming out. I mean, as a parent, it's kind of hard to go through some of it, right? But I can only imagine a parent that maybe has one in the intermediate, the lower school, and how many links that they need to click. So if we can maybe make it a little bit more user-friendly or look at a abbreviated version or post it on the website where, you know, they can find the information. But it's not the first time we've gotten some concerns about the way our parent communication is coming out. So right. I'd really like to see us address a little bit of that.
Okay, so we can definitely look into that again. So the feedback that we got when I first got here is that they didn't want the families didn't like having 4 different communications.
Mm-hmm.
So the suggestion was move to one communication, one document where you can click onto your particular one. So now we shifted to this, and the feedback that we're getting now is that Now we can't read it, it's too much in one document. So the first thing that we did to address this is we created these like weeks at a glance that kind of have the highlights. And that's the first step that we're taking to simplify the communication. And then I think the next step would be what you said, which would be to potentially have like a, I don't know, one pager or something like that, that maybe that does come from the specific school, mm-hmm. and then you're just reading the one pagers.
Right.
We'll have to get back together with the team and brainstorm this, because it's, you know, we shifted one way and now we're shifting back another way. So I want to make sure that we're doing this in such a way where we're streamlining the amount of messages that are coming to parents.
So maybe what we can do is send out maybe like a quick, it could even be like a Google survey to families just to say, hey, what do you guys, how do you want to see this communication?
Right.
Is it working? Is it not working? What do you think is best? Maybe something like that. Maybe let's get their feedback. Because some may love that, right?
Right.
But the ones that we're hearing, of course, are going to be the squeaky wheels that
yeah.
say, like, this is not, and I get it. As a parent, there are sometimes I can't read through all of that, right? Like, I'm scrolling through things that are important.
It's a lot of information.
Right. So we just want to make sure that is open. And then I do want to take a step back. So we still have, let's talk about what we're going to do coming back from Thanksgiving break with testing for COVID, and then Christmas break. What are going to be our requirements? Are we opening, like, are we saying you need to have a negative test to come back on campus? Like, what's our goals for that?
In our communications with the local public health, this is not a break that's considered one of those extended breaks that we would do, like, you have to bring a mandatory test back, because it's only 3 days that they're not on
right.
campus. But we will continue with the process. So we had a little bit of a spike in the lower school. So like we did the last time, whenever this happens, we have to double down on the testing for that particular group. And then there's another piece, and I can't announce it yet, but it is a piece of good news, but I can't talk about it yet because it's not verified, that's going to simplify the close contact process. It is through the state. It's a partnership with the state. And it would allow for us to potentially allow the kids to stay in school as a close contact. I can't say anything else on it yet because I would be speaking out of turn until I have this secured, but we are working on that as well. And that will help mitigate the major concern, which is what happens to the close contacts that are healthy that have to stay out. And this is specifically directly related to fixing that particular problem. But again, I wish I could say more, but I'm not allowed to at this time.
No, I know exactly what it is, but this is, I guess my larger concern is looking at coming back after, what, almost 2 weeks that they're going to be going?
You're talking about winter break?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, typically on long breaks, we have to require that negative test again.
Okay, so how soon are we going to get that communication to parents so that they're aware of what we're going to be expecting, so it's not a surprise to them?
By the first week of December.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be able to do that. So that will have, the same thing will happen for spring break as well.
Okay.
Whenever it exceeds that 1 week period, we do have to do that. But in this particular case, because we were in our collaboration, that didn't come up as a concern for 3 days.
Mm-hmm. I had one question. On the Chromebook sort of one-to-one technology front, so I have a kid at lower school and intermediate school, and they don't bring them home, which I completely understand because I think there's a much higher likelihood of damage and forgetting and not charging. When we think about that as a sort of platform for more straight through like education in like a stay-at-home scenario, is the thinking that we'd have enough sort of leading indicators of, you know, we're sending the whole grade home or something like that we'd have a day or two to say, take it home or
yes,
come
pick
it
up? Yes, that's exactly how we deploy
okay.
it. It takes a day, at least a day, for us to process the data for close contact, which gives us enough time to make that call. And in the last iteration of this, when it happened with the sixth grade, we were able to do that and deploy seamlessly. And we would also, so like, let's say we're still short X amount of Chromebooks or tablets or whatever the case may be, we can shift.
Got it. So like reassign.
Reassign them so that we can, if we have like a mass, if we have a large problem, we'd be able to reassign and shift.
Got it. Thank you.
So on that really quickly, so for the students who have not gotten them yet, Are they practicing in the classroom? I'm thinking more younger grades, right? Kindergarten, first grade.
They have cards that they can pull from.
So they're already using them, so it's not going to be a learning curve if we do have to shut it down. All right, thank you.
There might be a login learning curve because I think the teachers and the lower grades help them, but
right. But
they're using them for some things.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
This may be an obvious question, but with next week, we've switched to every other week testing. Next week's a short week, so the first week back from Thanksgiving will be a testing week for COVID?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a testing week.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I did just receive an update. Let me quickly see this because Dr. Davis just sent me a message. All kids have tablets now, but it's new in K only at this point. So that's the only area where it would be, but they do all have the tablets now.
Okay.
Which is good news. Okay, that was a long one. Thank you all. On to the next. Right, finance. Elias, I turn it over to you.
Thank you, Elias. Any other questions before we move on to the next section from the board members? We do have Greek school program report as well, too. Is there anything to report, Ioana?
Good evening, everyone. Yes, we have many things to report. First is my first address to the board and for our community. So I'm new in this role. I would like just to say a few things about me, just a few words for the community. I hold a Bachelor in Education from the National University of Athens, Greece, a Master in Teaching Language, and a PhD in Theater in Education. I have a background in theater in education and in general, how to use culture as the base of the teaching and learning. So, and I have also, yes, I have to say that as well, about 20 years of teaching experience, 13 years in California. I'm coming from California. I came last year to teach as a middle school teacher at Odyssey, and 7 years in Greece teaching experience. So for this weekend, I'm looking forward to see our families in person on Saturday in our academic fair, and on Friday for our open house and present our programs, the FLESS program and the immersion program also, explain, ask, receiving questions, giving answers, having this live communication with our community. Also, I would like to let you know that we launched two new programs in high school and in middle school. One is a collaboration between high school classes and the University of Thessaloniki, and we practice tandem learning. So students from Thessaloniki, college students from Thessaloniki are communicating live from class with our students in high school. It just started this week. And next week we are starting our collaboration that is not the first year, I think it's the third year, with the Pierce College of Athens and our middle school students. Also last Sunday, there was a big educational conference about the Greek education in the United States. And we were four people from Odyssey, myself and two more teachers and Dr. Marina Matheodakis, talking about programs that we run at Odyssey, showcasing best practices and strategies that we use at Odyssey. Another thing, you saw it already, we have a weekly newsletter just for the Greek program. So we have all the information and news about the programs there. And I think my last item has to do with the expansion of the immersion to the fifth grade, and that goes together with our ongoing recruiting efforts to find more teachers from Greece or from the United States qualified for the program. And also we are currently looking for sub teachers for this year. So we do a big opening to the community if you know qualified Greek speakers, teachers, or not teachers who would like to support our program, please contact me. I will be very happy to make these connections and have more people from the community involved in our Greek programs. I think that's all for today.
Thank you, Dr. Lukaku. Apologize for not introducing you first. I forgot this was your first board meeting, but you did a great job. You did a great job, and thank you. And those who don't know, Dr. Lukaku is acting dean of the Greek program now that Marina is back in Greece at the University of Thessaloniki. So congratulations, and we're excited to have you in that role. So thank you.
Thank you, Leah.
Next up is the monthly financial review. Jeff.
Good evening. Odyssey community and members of the board. All right, so where are we? You know what it's made.
I think you need to put yourself on mute.
Okay. Sorry for that brief interruption in your regularly tuned schedule. We're here to talk about the monthly finance report through October 31st, 2021, which represents 4 months or one-third of the fiscal year, which is a little crazy to believe. On the revenue side, as we previously discussed, the preliminary budgeted revenues are $37.8 million, and revenues collected to date are $26.3 million, or 70% of the budget. Revenues received during October consisted of the final load of the anticipated federal consolidated grant, close to $500,000, and the first portion of the final load for our local funding, as that will continue to be recognized probably through the end of this month. We're anticipating another approximate $2.8 million in state funding to be received by the end of January as we continue to look towards projecting a final budget. This is a list. Cafeteria revenues were slightly higher. There was some additional state operating funding that was provided, and it was a rather large federal reimbursement for the summer feeding program for the month of September. So as Elias mentioned, kudos to the food service team for the amount of production they're pumping out on a daily basis. On the expenditure side, preliminary budget expenses are $30.4 million, which includes a contingency. And expenses to date are $11.3 million, which represents approximately 39% of the budget. As we talked about previously, the ebbs and flows of the expenses in our school program is kind of front-loaded. We paid $2.7 million for our debt service in July. July was a $3K month, and our instructional supplies and curriculum tends to occur on the first third of the year. Some other notes. There's something that I mentioned in the previous board meeting, but transportation income expenses, future projections have been adjusted as the routes we're able to serve the Red Place School District and the routes that our current contractor is able to provide for us are less than the preliminary budgeted amount from back in July. Billings on both sides have been processed for August and September, and based on that information, on a conservative basis, we're projecting an adjusted amount of a $100,000 decrease in net income. Some other areas we're keeping an eye on is early analysis on the substitute expenses, both in-house and contractual, are trending higher through the August through October period. See if that trend was more part of the early portion of the year not being fully staffed, or if it's a trend that we'll want to take a closer look at. To date, $515,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminary budgeted amount of $1.96. And as new funding has recently become available, expense recodes will take place over the next few months. The projected year-end cash on hand right now is $8.1 million, of which $6.8 million is unrestricted, not including the state 2% contingency, and $1.3 million is restricted to federal grants. And that's your monthly financial report.
Thanks, Jeff. Any questions for Jeff?
I have a question for Jeff. I should have asked it last time, probably. As I'm trying to understand and being just a
not a number person, the big budget. I see some of the expenditures having exceeded the amount, the budgeted amount by a whole lot. And I'm not talking like 130% or 150%. There is an item that is at 367% and another item at 516%. I believe, and it's hard to read it, it's so big. I think it's books and publications and moving expenses. Can you talk to us a little bit about this? Why did they go that high?
On the book side, I think there's the way that we code expenses is very close between books and instructional supplies. So that may be sort of a swap from between one or the other, but I can take a closer look at that to get you a better answer. And as far as moving supply or moving expenses, I don't have that in front of me, but I can take a closer look at that for you.
Can I recommend, like, if something is going to exceed the 200% of the budgeted amount, that we bring it back for discussion, or a certain dollar amount? I don't know how the other board members feel about it.
I think it might be hard to bring back ahead of time, but maybe for those items, do you just provide a little more detail in the monthly report?
Sure.
Because I think the only thing, Evan, that I think about is there's a percentage base, but then there's a materiality of the dollar amount, and it might be a lot more of a very small dollar amount. And so maybe we want to establish like a dollar amount cap that you would bring back, but if it's, you know, $10,000 instead of $5,000 on like a expense in the ordinary course, we just have more info on the.
And the other aspect too is, you know, maybe something I can provide too is a summary based on a larger category of expenses that there's sort of puts and takes that go between categories. Because right now, like from total salaries, total contractual, total capital, we're not exceeding the budgets in any of those larger categories, which is why, generally speaking, I don't bring it to attention unless there's something that's trending that may impact that going forward. But I don't know if it would be helpful if I provided that summary type of level as well for some more of an overall piece. But yeah, I can take a closer look at some of those.
Maybe we have a finance committee meeting Friday, so why don't we take 10 minutes of the agenda and just talk about this a little bit more and think about what makes sense.
Sure.
Does that satisfy you, Eva?
Yeah, and the books and publications is like $47,000. I mean, it's not a very small amount.
Yeah.
The moving expenses is like, what, 15? I'm sorry, the numbers are so tiny. I have a hard time, you know. So a dollar amount would make sense.
Yeah, and those are great points. So I think what we'll do is we'll get together as a board to and provide you some guidance with respect to, I think it's more the absolute number versus a relative number, like a percentage. So if you're going over a certain dollar threshold, I think that should probably come back either the board or executive committee or some level where it's going to run through the board to some degree so that we can make sure we're tracking those larger dollar numbers. But we'll get something together as well. We can discuss with the finance meeting. That could be the start. Great point.
Jeff, there was a piece in the head of school report that mentioned loan payments and loans coming due.
So I think that was in the transportation section, and that was listing out what our current loans are.
Okay.
And the monthly payments on those.
Gotcha. Okay.
One of the things, Jeff, in that report, I don't know if everybody picked up on it, was the $100,000 variance transportation. But could you quickly clarify? I just want to make everybody understand how the school has responded, because it's important to note the response has already cost a $100,000 variance. So could you just quickly just highlight what we've done?
Sure, and I think part of the initial preliminary budget involved providing 9 routes to Red Clay and receiving 8 routes from First Student. And I think the reality right now is we're providing 4 routes for Red Clay and receiving 3 routes from First Student, and using our own drivers to kind of make up for whatever we're not able to get on the back end. And honestly, we're kind of entering the great unknown as far as transportation goes nationally. First Student as an entity is going through some sort of turbulent times, and that we're seeing that state level And so these projections, I do think, are conservative in the fact that we may recognize some increased expense efficiencies because, again, they're not able to even meet, I don't think, the 5 routes that we're asking them to. I think they're down to 3. So that's kind of the...
Thank you. No more questions for Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. We have a motion to approve the monthly financial statement for posting.
I so move.
We have a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Citizens Budget Oversight Committee. Do we have any reports on that? Is Evan in?
Good evening. I am in. Just wanted to welcome Aaron Allen to the team. Vice President, Treasurer, thanks for joining us, but no report this month.
Thanks. Was there no meeting?
There was, yes. Yes.
There was a meeting, but no report. Okay.
Can you just give 30 seconds on the meeting, just what we reviewed and just quickly.
Sure. So there were 6 people in attendance. We are consistently looking for more people to attend the meeting. A lot of what we went over and reviewed is what Jeff reviews. We also look at the P-card transactions and we discuss what is in the P-card. There are 3 P-cards at Odyssey. And we look them over and talk about what was purchased and why it was purchased, and Jeff answers all those questions for us.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
Next up, we have committee reports. We can go through the list. Anything from the DE&I committee? Any updates?
Well, the DE&I committee has been a little bit on hold, waiting for the new culture coordinator to come aboard so we can work collaboratively. But the outreach subcommittee, which is a branch of the DE&I committee, is holding another food drive this Saturday, the same day and time as the academic fair. We already had a lot of people reach out and ask to reserve a turkey. We welcome and encourage anyone who could use a turkey to email us. We're just asking you to email us because the freezer space is limited. We're going to try to accommodate everybody. We just don't have a lot of freezer space. And please come out. We're going to be there on Saturday along with the academic fair. Looking forward to seeing everybody.
Thank you, Ava. Mm-hmm. Anything on the immersion committee, Anne-Marie?
The immersion committee is regrouping, and we, as part of the strategic plan, we are going to, we are looking for new members, anyone who would like to be a part of the strategic motivation to see how we're going to expand and how we're going to be, what how the immersion program will look in the future as we grow over the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Are we planning on having any establishing routine meetings for that? Do you know?
Not yet. I have to get together with the group and see who's on and see what the committee can find. So we'll try to at least start with maybe start with a monthly, but I have to see what the group says. I'll let you know. Keep you posted.
Sounds good. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Fundraising committee, Mary Ann or Georgia on?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with fundraising, I think Pappas kind of went over most of it, but we are looking to work with the strategic planning committee to see what exactly is going to be needed over the course of this year and where volunteers can help, where we need to hire. We need to have paid employees as a part of it too. So we're just basically gathering all the information together. and putting together all the information for the big asks.
Okay. And I know Mr. Pappas went through some of the fundraising activities. Maybe we can get a briefer report. We can decide whether or not we want to have it at the board meeting, but maybe we can have Carl or somebody kind of come in as well too and give like a brief 5-minute update when there are major milestones that are happening with the fundraising.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. And the next fundraising meeting will be on December 13th at 4:00.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Carl did provide me with the report. So because he does report his activities to me weekly, and we meet almost daily. So we spoke a little bit about the brick campaign, and he's launching phase two right now. We're looking at different vendors that can potentially have a great font on there and a higher quality. So they're making some sample bricks, and that's going to come our way very, very soon. And again, we thank Mike Russos for leading that charge over there with the logistics piece. What you'll see this weekend at the academic fair is that there are sponsors. We have sponsors that are below $100 and above $100. That's all thanks to the development team's efforts. So we're able to give away door prizes and raffles and stuff like that at the academic fair. Carl's also looking on, he's gathering more information on what we used to do for the capital campaign. And there's been interest within the community about like what happened. I think there was even a question that came to the board today about that. So Carl's actively been engaging in this, trying to figure out like in organizing all of that for us and then putting the next step forward. We definitely want that as part of the strategic plan, a capital campaign. And obviously the gym still lies right in front of us as like a major priority for the organization, and a community center that we really want to put forward. So he's working on that particular part as well. He's also trying to firm up the start of an OCS vision that he's calling like a road show that he can kind of like share with philanthropic organizations, like, you know, who we are, what we are, why us, right? So that he can really start marketing us outwardly, which is fantastic. He's trying to get feedback on an annual campaign as well, probably a soft rollout in January, a hard rollout in September 22 to run through January 2023. An annual campaign would be something like along the lines, I've spoken to this a little bit before, where you look at the actual expenses of educating a student here at Odyssey, which exceed the funding that we receive from the federal government and local agencies, especially with some of the, shenanigans of some of our local districts and the way that they apply their funding formulas, that lead to us having to come up with that extra amount of money for our students. So what we'd like to do is put together an annual campaign in the fund where we can talk about how we can do that and make up that deficit. He's part of that. He's also looking at signature events that we've done in the past, like having a 2022 or 2023 gala for our particular event. But we want to do that under the premise of already having the basis of a strategic plan in place so that we're focused in these activities on that one big goal or those one, two, or three big goals. He's still executing his kind of like database system that he's putting into place. That's pretty much it. I got to say that Carl has been an incredible addition to the team, and he's really moved a lot of our projects forward for us and helped us on the back end so that we are able to put together a more comprehensive and professional approach to the way that we have all these things, including this academic fair that we have this weekend.
Ilias, I know he was working on finding out how much it's going to cost for the gym and stuff like that. Has there any movement on that? I know we've just had a pause on that.
About the cost on the gym.
Oh, the cost?
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting because we were talking about that today. It's probably around $4 million.
Okay. If there were new numbers and
we would have to update the numbers for inflation and other materials fees that are up. We believe the previous one was somewhere around $3.5 million. So we would project $4 to $4.5 million for this. Mm-hmm. But when you add that to some of the other capital projects that we're kind of looking at overall in campus improvements, we're looking at overall expenditures for capital improvements, and some are close to $8 million.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that. Any other committee meeting discussions? We do also have the non-APA nominating committee. I'll give you a quick update on that. So we had, we went through the process of reviewing candidates for open and vacant parent seat. We had 7 applicants, 5 of which were interviewed. And over the last few weeks and few months, and so the non-APA nominating committee met the other week and had some recommendations going forward for appointment of the next parent rep. Does anybody want to make any nominations with respect to the non-APA nominating committee recommendations?
I'll make the recommendation. We discussed and voted after discussion and debate, and out of the 5 that gave their interviews, Sean Nicholson came as the top candidate and Kristen Turner as the alternate. And I would like to go ahead and nominate that John Nicholson be appointed to the open seat on the board.
I'll second it.
Do we have any comments or discussions on that?
Yeah, I just want to share. John, I like John, and I think he's a very talented individual, and I respect his contributions to the school. I think as we looked at the folks who applied, I go differently on this one than the rest of the committee, and so understanding that's not how it will play out, totally respect you, we'll work with you, but I will be voting separately.
I just wanted to comment that the individuals who were interviewed were exceptionally qualified individuals. It was very hard to decide.
And I think one of the major things that take away is there's a lot of scope for people to get involved, especially in this year and in the coming months. So we're definitely looking to involve all the candidates who applied in some form or the other into our school, into the conversations about school. So thank you for applying.
All right. Thank you. Also, barring any other comments, I call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
So the vote carries. So John, welcome to the board. Glad to have you on. Looking forward to working with you. And again, I want to reiterate that we are talking to all the other candidates to get them engaged as well too. And hopefully they'll, as positions open up, there's opportunities to bring more folks onto the board as well. So thank you all. Next up, PTO report. I think Kai is out today. I think Mr. Pappas was going to give that.
I did it. Oh,
you did it. All right. Okay. Yeah. I saw you go through it in your report. I didn't know if there was anything else. Okay. Any new business needs to be brought forward at this time? Anything for the good of the school, from the head of the school or any of the deans?
We did a lot of good of the school stuff today. I'm good on good of the school stuff.
All right, so I think that ends the public session. Thank everybody for attending. We are going to go into a brief executive session to discuss some qualifications for personnel as well as some real estate transaction issues, but there won't be any vote coming out. So I just want to thank everybody. I'll set up an executive room for everyone to jump into.
And then we go into executive session.
Thank you. You have a second for that?
Ellen.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right, do you have a motion? Do you have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Second. Aaron so moves, and Helen seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, 8:56, we're adjourning. Thank you, everybody.